Puritan preacher Richard Baxter once said, "When you are heartless and dull under the ordinances of God and Scripture has little life or sweetness to you, and you are almost indifferent whether you call upon God in secret or not, and whether you go to the congregation and hear the Word of God and join in God's praises and communion of the saints, and you have no relish in holy conference or any ordinance, but do them merely almost for custom or to satisfy conscience, and not for any great need you feel of them or good you find by them, that shows for certain," he says, "that you want more of the rod and spur."
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. Thank you for joining us. We're going to turn in the Word of God to Hosea 14 today and consider the subject of backsliding. Often in the Old Testament we find the people of God turning away from the Lord, following after their own ideas and ideologies and following after the false idols of the heathen. And in our message today, the Lord deals with his people, God's gracious dealings with a backslidden people. John Calvin said, "God is always near his chosen ones, for although they sometimes turn their backs upon him, he nevertheless always has his fatherly eye upon him, upon them." Noah, God gave 120 years. 120 years for Noah to build the ark. Did he need 120 years? I'm not so sure. But it was 120 years of God's mercy and God's long-suffering. Why? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And the long-suffering of God was seen in the days of Noah through the preaching of the righteousness of God. Those who were there engaged in sin, those who were the very reason that God was sending judgment in the flood, heard the righteous preaching of Noah out of the long-suffering of God. Many rejected. But God was gracious, and God was long-suffering. And dear believer, God is gracious and long-suffering with you. May that touch your heart, that you would flee from sin and look to Him. Would you see the urgency of that? Dear unbeliever, the urgency of turning from your sin. God is long-suffering, but there comes a point where judgment will come. He was long-suffering in the days of Noah for 120 years. He is long-suffering in the days of this world, but the prophecy comes of the last days, the day of wrath, the day of judgment, eternity in hell for the unbeliever. Oh, God is long-suffering, but He is just and He is true and He is holy. This is an earnest plea. The Lord comes with an earnest plea for them to return. It's a plea of love. It's a plea of peace to the wandering one. They are the Lord's people. And the Lord comes here as well, and He gives them instruction. This is not just a plea, but the Lord tells them what they have to do. And dear backslider, today, the Lord in His Word tells you what you must do. How do you mend your ways? Well, you're to return. You're to take with you words. You're to turn to the Lord and say unto Him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. This is what has to be done, a turning from sin, a turning from idols. What we considered last week, and they're falling into sin, there's to be a reversal of that. And that is what this plea is about. It is a plea to repentance. Repentance is a change. It is a turning. It's not merely, I am sorry for this. It is a change of direction. A change of direction. And when we think of the sin within our lives, and we are convicted of that sin, we desire to mortify that sin through the help of the Spirit of God. What is that all about? It is turning aside from it. It is doing a U-turn. It is facing the sin and engaging in the sin and living a life of sin and turning around through the grace and power of God and living for Him. Leaving the sin in the past. Leaving the sin behind, that it would no longer hinder our walk with God. It would no longer turn our heart from Him. We leave it behind. Dear backslider this morning, this is what the Lord is graciously pleading with here. Leave that sin behind. Turn from it. Turn from it. It is instruction that we need to obey. The Lord's instruction has that divine authority. If you desire a close walk with God, if you desire the blessings of your salvation, maybe your walk with God, you've stumbled. Maybe as you've been running that race, there's been problems. I remember as a child, I lived in Northern Ireland, I was asthmatic, and that meant that my parents told my teacher, if I go outside in winter time, I'm to get into trouble. And so what did I do? I went outside at winter time and I got into trouble with the teacher and with my parents, the teacher under the authority of my parents, because it was not good for my asthma. And then we moved to Wales. I was 9 years of age, and living in Wales, there was a lot of industry, steel works and different things. The air was deemed to be quite toxic and quite bad for asthmatics. For me, it was the opposite for some strange reason. I started to actually live my life. And every day we played soccer at school, and my asthma was pretty good. And I engaged in sports. There was only one problem. Because of several years spent with bad asthma, I wasn't as fit as everybody else. And so when it came to running, I was a little on the slow side. You put a soccer ball at my feet, it was pretty good, but if you wanted me to run in a sprint, not so good. And I remember running, we did hurdles at school, and I was terrible. I wasn't the worst, But I was certainly not close. I couldn't jump over them. That was my problem. And everyone I hit, it fell down. It was like you're running your race, and you're running the race of life, and it's you're stumbling. There's a hurdle that through the grace of God you can get through, and I was almost running right through it because I couldn't get over it. And one day I did actually jump one, and the whole class cheered, and that's why I wasn't the worst, because there were others who never cleared one. And so I've jumped over one hurdle in my life. But we face, as it were, these hurdles all the time. Day by day we face them. What do? They can bring us down. They hinder us because our eyes are off the God of heaven. And you can be like that this morning. You've lost out with God. You're not reading, you're not praying. Your relationship with Him is really going through the motions of coming to church. And that's really it. There's nothing deep under the surface. Things have been left aside, maybe months, years. There has been no reading, no praying, apart from coming to the house of God and keeping up appearances. And your relationship with God is growing cold and dry. And when the hurdles of life come, you've problems getting over those hurdles because your faith is weak. And the promise of God comes graciously to you to return. Why? Because there'll be blessing. There'll still be hurdles. There'll still be difficulties. But there'll be that spiritual help to overcome those difficulties as you grow in grace with the Lord. His mercy to His children is full and it is complete. And therefore, be encouraged to have the forgiveness of sins, to go to the Lord for help and strength. Why? As the old Puritan said, He is a fountain of goodness that can never be drawn dry. A fountain of goodness that can never be drawn dry. Thirdly, I want you to see the joyful promise to the backslider. We'll be briefer on these closing points. The joyful promise to the backslider, verse 4 through to verse 6. Only God can bring joy again. And He says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be as the olive tree. His smell is Lebanon. To just summarize that. What a promise there is here. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, surprising things happen to a Christian. And a Christian can do surprising things, but the doctrine concerning a backslider teaches that though he may fall, he is not utterly cast down. And the Lord says, I will. These promises assure. God does not say, well, if you return to me, maybe I'll be with you. Maybe I will heal you. It's up to me, and, well, am I pleasure or not, I'll make the decision. No, God says, return unto the Lord, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. I will do this. I will heal. I will love them freely. I will be as the dew unto Israel. And oh, the blessing that comes from that. There is healing. Backsliding is a disease. And the Lord is our great physician. He will heal them. Oh, we need healing, do we not? When we fall into sin, when we turn from Christ, we need our souls healed. And the Lord is able to do that. He's able to heal the sinner. He's able to heal the backslider. The situation in which you find yourself far from God is not irreversible because of the great physician. He can heal. He can heal. He loves. I will love them freely. There's an abundant love here. There's a plentiful love. There's an unconditional love. The Lord loves His people. Oh, the great love of God. We think we might know something of love. We have no idea the great depths of love God and the Savior had for us. And the recipients of that love are blessed indeed. Oh, that you would experience the full blessing of the love of God. There's peace because the anger is turned away. There's reconciliation. There's growth and blessing. There's a reminder here of Psalm 1 about the blessed tree beside the rivers of water bringing forth fruit. There's a spreading of branches here. There's a beauty like the olive tree. There's a smell like Lebanon. The roots would be like Lebanon. The great cedars of Lebanon, great trees with roots that go down into the earth. And the Lord says, return to me, and there will be blessing, there will be growth. This is what the believer is to be like. Dear believer, these promises are to be a reflection of your life, that you've been healed, that you are loved, that there's peace between you and God, that there is this great growth and blessing. These promises are the foundation of a great assurance. There is a certain pardon of sin. And when our hearts are pardoned, when there's peace with God, our hearts are enlarged with love to God. Dear believer, if you've turned from Him, know the healing of God, know His love, know your heart changed with love to Him. We can lose our first love. The church at Ephesus reminds us of that. But that love can be restored. Do you have a desire today to make sure that you are in that right and proper place with God? If there's been a turning from Him, a turning from His Word, a turning from prayer, a turning from coming to the house of God, oh, that you would return to Him. We can think of our lives, and I'll be blunt. If you are not reading the Word of God day by day, if you're not praying to God day by day, if you have little desire to come to the house of God to hear His Word, to receive that means of grace, yes, there can be unavoidable situations. It's good to have a time each day to read and pray and to seek the Lord. Sometimes a situation can come. You can feel unwell and you spend the day in bed. Maybe you can still pray. Maybe you can't read in the same way. But you can come to a point perhaps where you can read and pray. It may be delayed but not forgotten. Maybe there's unavoidable reasons concerning coming to the house of God. Something happens. You're sick, or maybe a family member is unwell, and there's a reason why. A good reason why that is unavoidable. We're not talking about these things. We're talking about reasons that you allow to get the victory, to hinder your relationship with God. Things that come into your life. And you put these things before the God of heaven. And if that is the case, then surely you need to come to this verse and pray over it and pray over its promises. Lord, I've forsaken thy word. Last week thy word was forsaken. Maybe in a few days. Maybe it's been forsaken for a long time. Maybe prayer has been forsaken for a long time. Maybe the house of God is forsaken. Maybe all these things may actually be done, but they're done without a heart. They're done without thinking upon the word. They're done just for the sake of doing them, but there has been a losing of that first love. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Examine yourself, dear believer, that your relationship with God is where it needs to be. We can always be growing, and we should always be growing. We never arrive at the point where our relationship is absolutely perfect. Maybe it's a bit like a marriage. And you can think, well, I have a great marriage, and it's a perfect marriage. But the reality is, there are always things that can be improved. There can always be problems that come into that marriage and hinder that marriage and that relationship. So it is a constant work in progress, like our walk with God, a constant work in progress with the help of the Spirit of God. There's great promises. These promises are to the Lord's people. Dear believer, you should be blessed. You should be enjoying the presence of Christ. You should be delighting yourself in the Lord. You should be delighting yourself that He is your great physician, a great spiritual physician. You should be delighting yourself in the Lord because of that spiritual growth and blessing, because that's where the believer should be. Oh, that we would return unto Him. But then finally, we have the penitent prayer of the backslider. The penitent prayer. There's a praying here. They're instructed to take words, verse 2, to turn to the Lord, to pray, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. There's a word of repentance. They were to acknowledge that sin. They were return for forgiveness and blessing. And God hears and answers prayer. The backslider here is encouraged, turn to the Lord, pray. And this is the prayer that you must pray. The decision has to be made. Continue in that backslidden state with no joy or blessing, or turn to the Lord. The hymn writer said, "Come, let us to the Lord our God. With contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn." There needs to be a stopping, a thinking, a taking note of where you stand with God. An examination of your ways. An examination of where you stand with God. There needs to be a humiliation, repentance, whether that is repenting from sin and trusting God in salvation, or as the Lord's people returning from our backslidden ways and forsaking our sin. There is to be humiliation. Oh, how pride can have the victory. We must humble ourselves and look to the Lord. We must resolve to overcome those hurdles and those hindrances. Satan will stir up with his instruments to try and to hinder us. The old Puritan spoke of Satan stirring up to kill Christ in his infancy. But yet God intervened. How Satan will try to do the same with us as we seek to go forward for Him, as we seek to walk in His ways, seek to hinder us. Oh, that we would have the strength of God to have that victory. There's a penitent prayer. It's a prayer desiring forgiveness. It's a prayer of humility. Dear believer, when you think of your ways, and those ways that need healing, is there penitence within your heart? Do you feel the guilt of that sin? Do you feel that you've forsaken God and that you need to turn afresh to Him to forsake that sin by the help of the Spirit of God? Oh, that we would have penitent hearts, humble hearts, hearts that the Lord can work in and melt and mold according to His will. O believer, return unto the Lord, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. The gracious plea of God comes for you to return. Put things right. Dear believer, if you are walking with God, if you're in that great fellowship with Him day by day, desire its continuation. Don't forsake the means of grace. Don't forsake the Christ who died upon the cross. But desire day by day that the most important thing you do is engaging in that relationship with God. And the Lord bless His word for His name's sake. Amen.
Spurgeon brings us today to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 15. Great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. Great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. What a mass of hideous sickness must have thrust itself under the eye of Jesus. Yet we read not that He was disgusted, but patiently waited on every case. What a singular variety of evils must have met at His feet. but sickening ulcers and putrefying sores, yet he was ready for every new shape of the monster evil, and was victor over it in every form. Let the arrow fly from what quarter it might, he quenched its fiery power, the heat of fever, or the cold of dropsy, the lethargy of palsy, or the rage of madness, the filth of leprosy, or the darkness of blindness. All knew the power of his word, and fled at his command. In every corner of the field he was triumphant over evil, and received the homage of delivered captives. He came, he saw, he conquered everywhere. It is even so this morning. Whatever my own case may be, the beloved physician can heal me, and whatever may be the state of others whom I may remember at this moment in prayer, I may have hope in Jesus that he will be able to heal them of their sins. My child, my friend, my dearest one, I can have hope for each, for all, when I remember the healing power of my Lord, and on my own account, however severe my struggle with sins and infirmities, I may yet be of good cheer. He, who on earth walked the hospitals, still dispenses his grace, and works wonders among the sons of men. Let me go to him at once in right earnest. Let me praise him this morning, as I remember how he wrought his spiritual cures, which bring him most renown. It was by taking upon himself our sicknesses. By his stripes we are healed. The church on earth is full of souls healed by our beloved physician, and the inhabitants of heaven itself confess that he healed them all. Come, then, my soul, publish abroad the virtue of his grace, and let it be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign which shall not be cut off. May the Lord bless our program today to your heart, and may you be encouraged through his word to your soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.